Welcome to Investor Resources with your hosts, Don Creech and Perry Sykes, who both realize that the market doesn't know what keeps you up at night. It doesn't know when you want to retire, and it doesn't know how old you are. The simple truth is, the market doesn't care. But if you care, then you've tuned in at the perfect time. You're listening to Investor Resources, bringing clarity to the confusing world of finance. Here are your hosts of Investor Resources, Don Creech and Perry Sykes.
Well, good morning. This is Don Creech.
And this is Perry Sykes. Welcome to the show, everyone.
So we are live and local. Well, we're local for those of you who in Puget Sound. We had email from Irv in Alberta recently.
There we go.
He's not local.
Nope.
Neither are our new clients in South Carolina. But Chehalis is local, isn't it?
I believe that qualifies, absolutely.
That's not really Puget Sound, but it's local radio on KVI. So hi to Mike and Dina down there in Chehalisville. Anyway, you want to call us, we have open lines, 888-312-5757, 888-312-5757. You also want to remember that next weekend is the first Saturday of the month, and that means we have another stock market update webinar. We have it scheduled. We do not have it prepared.
We don't know what it's going to look like yet. Yeah,
that's true. This is the week where, in order to make it relevant and current, we have to get down and dig through data and figure out how to make it interesting and understandable. And when it comes to finance, that's, you know, that can be a tough job because there's a lot of data to look at, and a lot of which is just plain garbage. But you want to register for that. Even if you cannot attend right after the show, you will get a replay link. And then when TV is boring as all get out, you can bring up the replay and you can be fully entertained with our new insights.
And that's 2 weeks. That's 2 weeks out, Don. 2 weeks.
Oh, two weeks out.
You clipped a week out there.
Well, I'm looking at March 6th. My wife said, next weekend is your show, right? And I said, well, she's got to be right. She knows what's going on.
That's because you're a good husband, see? So
never doubt your wife, right?
Absolutely not. No.
It's yes, dear. Anything you say, dear. I'm sorry, dear.
That is correct.
Okay. Those three lines I've memorized pretty well.
There you go.
Okay, so 2 weeks out, you have some extra time to register, but do so and get in line for the link. That will be 2 weeks, March 6th, 9:15. So I should have just looked at my notes and said the date instead of the... Hey, this is live radio.
Best late, exactly. Hey, that's for real. That's right.
Anyway, one of the things that is happening in the market is for all of those who have been told by their financial advisor... first of all, ask questions about how risk-taking are you? And you said, well, I'm pretty moderate to conservative. And they said, okay, we can fix that. We are going to use the safety haven of bonds to protect your account from market downturns, which basically says we have no idea when the downturn is going to happen. Of course, neither do we. But when it does happen, we're not going to do anything. We're just going to we're not going to put money in stocks. We'll put them in bonds instead. That way, when the market goes down, the bonds are your safe haven. Of course, they don't do anything with the last 6 months that bonds are getting crushed. And the older you are, the more of those they think you should own.
A little backwards, we think. That's not the way it should be. You shouldn't be, as you get older, rotated into the riskier asset class. Doesn't make much sense.
No, and frankly, I don't know that we can say this too often. The market doesn't care what you think about risk.
True enough.
It is always risky. It's either low risk, high risk, or somewhere in between. And the issue is, when it's high risk, your age has nothing to do with the action you should take to preserve your capital. When it's low risk, it doesn't matter how old or young you are, that's opportunity knocking at your door, and your financial advisor said, we're just not going to recognize that. you know, I don't care how loud the doorbell is, we're not going to address it because you're 73 years old and you should not own anything that's a good opportunity at this stage of your life. What? That came right out of their company's sales pitch and some 1952 theory, which has been misapplied to markets. And if that's the story your financial advisor is giving you, you really need to sign up for our webinar.
You do. There's a different way to do that. And they're not making any great decision based on the condition of the bond market or the condition of the equities market. All they're doing is looking at a chart, looking at your age and saying, well, here's the percentage of bonds you should own. They never even look at the market. They have no idea what's going on out there, and it doesn't matter to them. It's just it says here on our little portfolio breakdown that at your age you should have this many bonds, and it doesn't matter what your situation is. It doesn't matter what the bond market looks like. That's what you're going to get, and that just doesn't make any sense. You need to take a look at what the markets look like right now and make a decision based on the markets, not on the investor.
One of the articles, Perry, that you prepped for today, the author says that bond investors should be celebrating higher interest rates because you want to be able to invest and actually get some interest payment that you could live on.
Right.
Well, they have to go up a lot. What he doesn't say, well, actually, he does allude to it with his charts, that the higher the interest rates go, the lower your current bonds are worth.
it doesn't say that it's going to be easy getting there. That's right. You're going to get rolled over on, and then you can make some money down the line. But whatever you're currently holding, not going to work too well as the rates increase.
Now, people don't understand the teeter-totter.
Yeah, there you go.
Bonds are a teeter-totter in the market. On one end is value. On the other end is interest rates. And as long as interest rates are falling, hey, your values look really good because they keep going up. But remember when you were a kid and your sibling was on the downhill end and they decided to jump off? That was lots of fun if you were on the downhill end. That was always fun.
There you go. That's when you found out how loud your voice actually was. It's like, he's screaming now.
Yeah. So when interest rates rise, it's the opposite effect. Now, we've been in falling interest rate environment since, how about 1980, 1979 under Paul Volcker?
That's it.
Who said, we're going to break the back of inflation and we're going to change the way we manage federal money, monetary policy. And he did.
Did both those things, you bet.
So we've been in falling interest rate environment, let's call it 1980, 40 years. 80s, 90s, the 2000s. And the tens. Okay, so it's 30 plus years. That means that your bond values really never suffered along the way. And your financial advisor is telling you, we're going to manage risk by putting money in bonds, which means you are assuming that the next 35 years, interest rates will fall another 95%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you believe that, I want you to raise your hand. Actually, if you believe that, call us, 888-312-5757. We really need to discuss your assumptions pretty seriously with you because it's an assumption that's going to get you into deep financial trouble if you own a bunch of bonds as your safe haven. The numbers don't work.
They don't, and they can't. It's not even a matter of, you know, we're predicting that it looks like this is not going to be great for the bond market. The bond market cannot produce the same returns it has over the past 40 years because interest rates can't fall very far. I mean, it's technically possible for them to fall 90%, but that just means they're going to fall, you know, 80% of 1%. You know, it's a tiny move compared to double digit inflation rates back in the 80s. We don't have those anymore, and we're not going to have them anytime soon. So we can't have those bond returns. There are plenty of prominent bond managers that are saying, hey, if you need that portion of your portfolio to make 4 or 5%, you should probably look somewhere else. Because
maybe stocks.
Yeah, you're not going to find that in the bond market. We don't have that here anymore. And your portfolio needs to reflect that because if it doesn't, you're just dreaming. It's just not going to happen.
So interest rates are beginning to rise with the fears of inflation showing up in commodities specifically. And not all commodities. It's the ones that are being excluded from this rise, the one particularly, is gold. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of gold investors that are thinking inflation is going to push this metal back up into a new high, and it is not happening. It is out of sync with the rest of the commodity arena. Register for the next workshop on March 6th, two Saturdays out, 9:15 right after the show. Our structure stays the same. We're going to spend some time with education. We're going to spend some time with stock market condition update, and then we do Q&A. That's our basic format. We want you to be smarter, want you to know what's going on, and you still have some questions, we want to address those. Register at IRIradio.com. That's IRIradio.com. And if you haven't watched the February or the January ones, you go to the video tab and you can watch those. That will give you some update about how we make decisions, because our decision-making process is different. The odds are different than your financial advisor, who is basically doing what his company tells him to do.
And that's how it works. That's true.
We had some new contact with people who are listeners. So we've had an opportunity to review statements from other financial advisors, pretty traditional vanilla cake advice, which we recognize because in our old life, before we went on the wagon, we knew how to do that too.
Been there, done that. We've seen those portfolios. We've seen, you know, you hire an advisor and they essentially just recreate the market for you. You end up owning something close to the S&P 500 and they throw in a few bonds for good measure. And that's all it is. It's like, you know, you could get this portfolio for free, just buying SPY and forget about it. You don't need to pay someone for that. And people are paying real money, you know, real significant money over time to get those portfolios that don't really amount to anything of value.
Let's take our break.
Yeah, okay, we are getting close. Let's go ahead and get out of here. As Don mentioned, coming up on Saturday, March 6th, we have our next market update. We do those near the first weekend of every month. And we're going to give you a good look at what's going on in the market out there. One of the most important things we do is we have plenty of time for your questions. If you have questions about what's going on in the market, what things are looking like, where the trends are heading, it's a great time to get that question. And if you have questions about individual securities that you own, questions about funds or stocks that you're wondering, should they still be in your portfolio, or maybe something you're thinking about adding, we would be happy to give you a second opinion on those live online. We'll have our charts up. You'll be able to see what we're doing, see what we're looking at. And you can even send those in early if you'd like to. You can send those tickers in to help@iriradio.com. That's help@iriradio.com. And to register, you just go to iriradio.com, go to the webinar page, a couple of clicks, and you will be good to go. It's well worth your time. Spend a few minutes. It can really give you some clarity as to what's going on in the market out there. We have all kinds of time here left this morning to get your question on the air. If you have a question for us, give us a call at 888-312-5757. That is 888-312-5757. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table.
Yeah, there's time enough to count it when the dealing's done, and that's true in the market, too. Unless, of course, you're using modern portfolio theory, which 80 to 95% of financial advisors recommend you use, which is basically buy and hold a bunch of different stuff, and the older you are, the more bonds the stuff is. And you just sit through whatever is going to happen. You know, just you kind of are told to go to sleep. Don't bother me. I mean, we did this plan already and the plan's going to work. You just have to wait longer, quit worrying about the fact that it's dropped 35% since the spring. It's not your problem. The market always goes up. If it always goes up, how come I'm down 35% in 2 months? That's a bear market. By definition, 20% or more is a bear market. And I thought we were doing something to be safe. Well, we did. We bought bonds. So, you know, you'll be okay. And this time around, you know, it didn't take that long to get whole again. It was an exceptional, historic drop last spring, last winter. And it was a historic, rapid rise back to the top of the market. As far as the indexes were concerned, rest of the market, not so much. And we're going to talk about that again a little bit later. We have Larry on the line who apparently wants to give away some money. I wonder if he has a special, does he have a special list? I mean, we can probably find people that would stand in line. Larry, you are live on KVI.
Hi, guys. Great show. Listen to you quite often.
Thank you.
I do have a list. I have three grandchildren that I want to start giving them some money every year. What's the best way to do that?
How old are the grandkids?
I have one 18-year-old and a 10 and a 7.
Okay, well, the minors, the two younger ones, you need to typically set that money aside. I have real difficulty because of personal experience with my children receiving money as minors and with clients who have done set aside money, typically with a custodian account of some sort. I mean, you can set them up in trust or you can use a uniform gift to minors account where you would either you or often the parent would be set up as the controlling person with legal authority on it for the benefit of your grandchild. And that's just a registration issue. But you need to remember that when they turn 18, it's their money, and it doesn't matter what mom and dad or you say. They can walk into the bank or the brokerage firm and show their ID and take the money out and, in one case, decide to hook up with a motorcycling boyfriend and take a tour around the United States until the money ran out. That money was supposed to be college education money, but at 18, the choice is theirs. So I don't recommend giving the money to grandkids until they show fiscal responsibility, moral responsibility, and have a job showing that they are exercising personal responsibility in their lives. But that's my opinion. That's not the normal deal, which is, well, let's just set up an account where we can generate some commissions or management fees, and that'll take care of it. I recommend you maintain control of the money. Unless you're giving away large amounts of money that you're doing for estate planning purposes, and then your attorney's going to be the one to give you some advice on how to set that up and avoid premature dispersion into objectives that may not fit your personal purpose. I don't know if that helps you or not.
Yes, that sounds like great advice, and that's what I was thinking myself.
So if you trust their parents to hold the money separately for them, you can get it out of your estate and tell the parents that this money is for their children. But even in that situation, what I have done with clients in the past is we've kept it in the parents' name and we've kept a spreadsheet and we just update it every year and say, okay, your account grew by 9% this year. So out of the money that we started with last year for the kids, we'll add 9% to that balance. And so what you have in your account, X part of it is really for the kids when they're behaving responsibly and you're not going to be rewarding bad behavior. And if the parents can do that, then you can go ahead and transfer the money. Otherwise, you're kind of left with estate planning issues, in my opinion.
So a custodial account for the younger children, and the 18-year-old, would a payable on death account work in that case?
Sure.
It'll work. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a transfer on death account. Sure, that works. And the custodial ones, it's just you just know that when they turn 18, if they know the money's there and where it is, they can walk into the institution and go do whatever they want to do. And I've seen that happen more than once. But then you get some kids who are really responsible, and you don't have a problem. I just, you know, we don't know your family, don't know your family history. You don't know how they, and you don't know when they get into their teenage years what kind of friends they're going to have. And if the friends know they have money, well, there's a new set of pressure on what's going to happen to your gift.
Just exactly, yes. Okay, well, thank you very much for the advice, and I will certainly follow give that advice.
Give it some extra thought, Larry. Didn't mean to give you a nightmare. But,
it is a good thing to think about. Yeah, you never know. You never know what's coming with kids.
Well, one of the things that we usually start the new year with is resolutions. And not long after our show was over here today, one of the shows that shows up for a couple hours is Longevity Medical. And I've been a patient of Longevity for, I don't know, more than a decade. And frankly, I'm really quite happy with them. And one of the things that they do help people with is how to get healthier, part of which is losing weight. And when it comes to losing weight, you know, there's two real simple rules. One is eat less. And eating less is actually good for extending your longevity.
Lots of things. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And then the other one is work out more. Okay.
Those are really the only two rules you need. If you follow those two rules, you've got it covered. So.
but cupcakes and pizza are so good.
there's always another side. Yeah, there's always a competing interest out there trying to derail your choo-choo there.
And the same is true in the stock market. The things that look so easy aren't necessarily good for your financial health. You know, it comes down to strategy. How are you going to make decisions? And if you want help on how we make those decisions, and if you can apply them to your own portfolio work or a double check on your advisor, you need to register for our webinar on March 6th, right after the show. Go to irradio.com, lower left-hand corner, says webinar. Double couple of clicks in your email. You'll get a link, and you will be set to either join us live or get the replay link when the recording is done. But regardless of your strategy, whether it's technical, fundamental, economic analysis, you know, some people look at the rotation of stars and moons in the celestial sky.
They really do. You can really find investment advice based on lunar cycles if that's your thing. No matter what you're thinking about doing, somebody's already out there doing it as far as investing goes. But thankfully, you get to decide whether that's someplace that you want to entrust your funds to or not.
And one of the issues is always, as I mentioned in the last segment, is risk. Market has risk. It never has no risk. It's just low, high, and somewhere in between. And the people who are continuing to promote gold is the safe haven of your financial future when our economy collapses.
And it's still on TV all the time right now. You know, you should buy gold. You should own it right now. And not necessarily the truth.
So they say, well, the market is at these all-time highs, and it makes no sense. Well, that part may be true. It's hard to understand.
Depends
reality.
What's coming up. That's right. We don't know what's coming up, so who knows?
But 4 months ago, man, the perma bears were out in droves. Haven't heard so much from them lately because the Russell 2000 small caps have overwhelmed the well-named companies and have just continued to move up. Now, when I say continued, the market never goes in a straight line. It's kind of like being on a pogo stick, but it's going uphill. I'm thinking of Sansom Street in San Francisco on a pogo stick. That would be a real workout.
That would do it.
How about the gold bugs, though? Gold, it did have a bit of a rally last year when they were, you know, this is kind of silly. I want my gold to go up. Therefore, I want the economy to absolutely collapse. So my gold will be worth something, but I don't know who will buy it. I mean, if the economy is really collapsed and the dollar isn't worth anything, you're basically in a barter society, and gold is not highly fungible. What are you going to, you're going to take, carry around a really strong pocket knife and shave off a little sliver and say, here, can I buy some gasoline?
I need a loaf of bread. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to work. Anyway, what's actually happened is that while gold continues to new lows, the market continues to move to new highs. And what will you do when stocks turn lower? And they will.
Going to happen. We just don't know when. It's going to happen again. That's the nature of the market.
So risk management, in our opinion, is no longer trusting in academic 80-year averages. And that's modern portfolio theory. We used to use it. Unfortunately, it didn't work in the tech bubble collapse. It didn't work in the great financial collapse of the 08-09. I mean, that it did not work to save your bacon. So what are you going to do now? Well, we use technical analysis. Technical analysis looks for trend continuation. As long as the trend continues, that's good news. When it doesn't continue, we resort back to John Maynard Keynes, well-known economist. When the facts change, I change my mind. What do you do, sir? Well, for the most part, when the facts change with gold, people just believe.
They do. It's a belief system. They buy gold because that's where they want to be, and it doesn't matter what's going on. There's always a reason to own gold, and it's just not true. Gold is just an asset class like everything else. There's good times to own it. There's bad times to own it. And there's good times to take a break, and there's better times to take a break. And better time would have been a couple minutes ago, but we're still okay. A good time is right now. So we'll get out of here and take a break. If you're not getting our weekly email newsletter, the Week in Review, I would suggest you sign up for that. You can sign up by sending us an email at help@iriradio.com. is help@iriradio.com. We need your first and last name, and just put Week in Review in the subject line. We will get you on our list, and you will begin receiving that on Monday, this Monday. It's a very good look at what's going on out there currently in the market, I mean, in the economy and in the market and things at large, and give you a good look at what's important, what to pay attention to, and what you can probably safely ignore, what's just noise out there. You can sign up for that again at help@iriradio.com. You are listening to 570 KVI. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hey, well, all right, sir. Here we go there. What are they going to give for? I'm at $600 down here now, $10 and now, $25 and now, $35 and now, the $50 now, $60. Will they give me $60 now, $75, $75, another $85 on the bottom there? $25 bid now, $30, $30. Will they give me $30, make it $30, bid up on my $30. Will they give me $30?
Well, the market is an auction market, and boy, we didn't talk a lot about it last week. GameStop and the way the Reddit trading group has manipulated that stock around, pushed it around. Manipulated is a word that is still being debated in Congress, and a few other stocks. But it is, I want to sell this at this price, and if you can find a buyer for it, and today it's all digital communication, you don't have to call a broker. The software takes care of that. They find a buyer for you. And if they can, you know, it's a sweet deal no matter how high the price may be. But there is an adage that you've heard before, and that is if we don't learn from history, we are bound to repeat it. So the real question today in the market is this, 1929 or 1998, 99, 2000, somewhere in that time frame. There's a lot of academic work. Dr. Schiller, PhD, has a Nobel Prize for various financial.
I believe he does. That's correct.
Papers he's done. Well, at least for one of them. But one of the things he came up with in his hours that he gets to spend doing research in academia is the cyclically adjusted PE ratio, price earnings ratio. And he's gone back through history and said, well, looky here. Looky here. My ratio, my CAPE ratio, cyclically adjusted price earnings, today is right where it was in 1929. What do you think about that? Well, in history, we know that the market fell 86% from 1929 to June of 32. Prices had been extremely speculated.
Might even say manipulated, even in 1929.
Well, you could manipulate them in 1929.
Yep. Yeah. There was far less regulation, and there was a lot of, quite frankly, a lot of the same thing that was going on with Reddit. A lot of people getting together and just saying, we're just going to bid this up and we're never taking our money off the table. You know, we're going to make money forever. That was the claim. Of course, that kind of story almost never ends well.
So in 1929, the CAPE ratio was just slightly above 39. And it didn't get there again until 2000. And it got back above 39 again. And then what happened to the S&P? Well, it fell 51% over the next 2 years. Yep, that's the tech bubble falling apart. So where are we now? Well, we're back above 39.
Just above 39 again for only the third time in history. And that's got some people's attention looking at it and saying, so what situation are we looking at here? In 1929, everything collapsed almost immediately. In 2000, it crossed 39. In 1998, everything kept going up for two more years, way up before things collapsed. But they did collapse. So, you know, what are we looking at here? Which scenario is going to unfold now? And of course, as always, the answer is we have no idea, because it's not 1929 and it's not 1998. It's 2021, and we're going to have to deal with what's going on right now, and we don't know how it's going to unfold.
So the economies are different. Globally, certainly, they are different. And the companies that make up the index, the major index, is radically different.
Very different, yeah.
So this time is different, but it doesn't mean that the inherent risk of insufficient earnings to support the prices should not be paid attention to. It is a legitimate concern. But as you just said, Perry, in 98, it was another 2 years before the market rolled over. It just kind of leveled out, and people are thinking, well, it's just taking a breather. Yep, it's going to continue going up when it catches its breath again. But those last couple of years, 97, 8, and 9, were stimulated by excessive amounts of government regulation, forcing companies to do things prematurely. And it hyped earnings, and it focused stuff on technology.
Well, way too much. Yeah, there was a huge amount of hype where people thought, well, the internet has, I mean, how often do we hear that? Well, there's been a paradigm shift. The market will never be the same again. We're going to have permanent gains built in because the amount of productivity that's going to come online is unprecedented, and this market's not going to fall for decades. And of course, again, that was not true. Turned out that it wasn't going to fall for 2 years, and then it was really going to absolutely collapse.
So the collapse does occur. We just don't know when. And so that's the real risk that most people face with the standard advice that you get in the market today, which is answer some questions about how risk tolerant you are. How do you feel about losing 20% of your account? How do you feel about an interest rate? And how old are you? And how much income do you have? Do you really need to take money out of your account? I mean, there's typically 10 to 20 of these questions, each of which, unbeknownst to you, have a numeric response that the advisor fills out.
They just go through and score that. They score your answers. And just like you said, Don, there are so many of those that are attached with, that begin with, how do you feel about? They're questions about you. They want to know how you think about the market. They want to know how you feel about what's going on in the market right now, or what might happen in the market. none of that's got anything to do with the market. Like we say all the time, the market doesn't care how you feel about it. It doesn't matter. But none of those questions are, you know, what's the PE ratio right now? And what do you think future returns might possibly be in the near future? Those questions aren't on there. They're all about how, about you. The risk is not in you. The risk is in the market. And if those questionnaires were worth anything, there would be questions about the market to at least get your opinion, but they don't. They just talk about you, and that's backwards. You need to base your portfolio on what's going on in the market, not the way you feel about what's going on in the market.
So that actually what you're doing when you're answering those questions is setting the parameters for the advisor to plug you into a pretty standard portfolio based on the total of your answers. And then the market's going up and your account's not going up very much. And you come back and say, hey, you know, we're not, you know, it's going up and we're not doing anything. And so, well, you know, let's go through your questions again. Let's see how you answer them. And you basically your answers are the same. And so, well, no, you're a conservative investor. So you shouldn't be worried about not going up in your account because you're conservative. The fact that you are conservative, we've put you in assets that don't go up. And in fact, they might be going down, but let's not talk about that. You have structured your account, and all the broker has done has been plug your answers into a model and say, that's all it takes. You just pay me every year so you know I'm here to talk to when you are concerned. You want a different outcome? You change your answers. It has nothing to do with the market. We are doing what you are telling us to do. That is standard best practices in the industry.
And it's amazing that that model says you pay us for the service, but you do all the work. You tell us what to do, and then we're going to do it. But we're going to charge you for that. It's completely backwards. If you thought about it in those terms, no one would do that. No one would say, yes, I would love to pay you so that I can structure my portfolio myself. That's what's going on with modern portfolio theory.
And that's the reason that we abandon it. Well, that's not, we figured that out afterwards. What
Correct.
We recognized in 08 and 09 was the theory stinks. It doesn't protect people in a down market. We believed it did. We have hours and hours and hours of sickening, continuing education about how this is the way to manage money. Well, no, it's the way to convince a prospect that you're smarter than they are, and therefore they should trust you, and therefore they should be glad to receive flowers on their birthday, because you held their hand when the market went down.
And that's the high point of your advice right there. Yeah, here's a birthday card. Aren't you glad you're doing business with me? And when you come to the realization, as we did back in 08, that the only safety in that pie chart, the only safety in modern portfolio theory is time. You have to be willing to wait an unlimited amount of time for your portfolio to come back to where it was. That's the safety factor. The safety factor is we hope you live long enough to see your money again, but we're not going to do anything about it either way. That's the bad side for you. If you're in retirement now, no one can afford those kind of time frames. That's not a thing human beings should have to put up with. And it doesn't matter how old you are. If you're 20, you shouldn't put up with that. If you're 110, you shouldn't put up with that. There's just no reason to say I'm going to lose a bunch of money and take the next few decades trying to get even. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. We're up against our last break of the morning here. I'd like to remind you once again that we have our March market update on the calendar. It's Saturday, March 6th, 9:15, right after the show. You can register for that at iriradio.com. Just go to iriradio.com, click on over to the webinar page, and click the registration link. You're going to get an email back. And on March 6th, after the show's over, just click on that link, and you'll be live online with Don and myself, and we're going to go through, you know, where the market is today. We're going to do some education on how it is we run client portfolios and some of the decisions we've made, how those get structured. And then we always have plenty of time for your questions. That's one of the most important reasons we do this, is so people have a place to come in. Get your questions answered. You can see the charts we're looking at. You can see why we're making the decisions we're making, and you can really gain a great deal of clarity. Again, you can register for that at iriradio.com. We do have an entire segment left here this morning. If you have questions for us this morning on the economy or the markets, give us a call at 888-312-5757. That is 888-312-5757. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Take it higher. Take it higher. That's exactly what we want the market to do. But we're at really elevated prices, and is that something that we should be worried about?
You sound like a Reddit guy there, Don. I don't know.
I've never been on Reddit, but take it higher, higher, higher. Actually, when I was doing day trading years ago, my instructor told me the story about watching a stock really move. I had one day in about 5 minutes, this thing went up almost $4,000. And I'm sitting there watching, and I'm going, go, 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 go. Yeah, and it comes down just as fast. But I did get out with about $2,800 gain on that. That was an exciting trade. But that was another life. One of the things that is a concern, we just talked about it, is the cyclically adjusted PE ratio is at record highs, and it should be something that we pay attention to, because historically, whenever the market has been this high, the next 10 years has significant drawdown risk and very low overall return for anybody who is a passive investor just hanging on to the index.
It's really simple. It's just saying, look, prices are high right now. We're buying things at expensive levels. Therefore, the return that's coming up, of course, has a good chance of being less than it was in previous time frames, because we're not getting a good buy now. We're not buying low. So we're buying high. That doesn't mean things can't go higher, but it means there's less room for things to continue up.
But should you buy high? And the answer is yes. We're going to explain that in just a minute. Should you be worried about the economy? Well, there's lots of things to worry about. But there is one indicator that I watch every day, actually, and that is lumber prices.
Uh-huh.
Now, the stock market is not investing based on today's news. It's investing. The valuations are based on where we think we will be in 6 to 9 months out. The market is a forward betting animal.
Always looking forward. Correct.
So lumber, however, is something that in the futures market, stores like Lowe's and Home Depot and major contractors who are building apartments, building warehouses, anybody's building commercial space, that a big contractor needs to know what his costs are going to be. So use the futures market to guarantee a price at some point later downstream when he expects he's going to need it. So when lumber is going up, that's a good indicator for economic strength 6 to 9 months down, because if lumber is in need, somebody's going to be working. You have laborers who are going to be building, and if the carpenters are working, then the plumbers are working, the electricians are working, the roofers are working, the landscapers are working, and right after that, you get the people who make furniture and drapery and the kitchen stuff, all that stuff is all downstream. Well, this is all good economic news for what's going to happen downstream. The question is, are you just going to buy the index and pray it works and never goes down, or are you going to pay attention to it? But lumber continues to move up. So we are optimistic, and this doesn't reflect so much the pandemic being resolved, which gets resolved during the summer because the virus doesn't live in heat, of which we've been grossly lacking lately.
Yeah, good luck with that. But it is important to look at those things, to look at lumber and look at the way that, you know, all we hear about in the market so often is, well, it's all the technology firms, you know, and it's like, well, no, it's 2x4s that are really saying where this market's going, because it drives, like you said, Don, so many other things. And the lumber people got it wrong. The pandemic hit and they were sure everything was going to shut down. So they closed a bunch of mills. They shut down their production, only to find they had missed it badly, and they're turning everything back on they can, running 24 hours a day, because there is a huge demand out there. And so now they're busily trying to catch up. So it's very, very good for the outlook. It looks like there's a lot of demand out there.
So the money that was being spent on movie theaters and dining out has been redirected to a home addition, a kitchen remodel, all sorts of stuff, which has kept lumber in high demand, prices moving up. And so you turn around, and we do, we look at the market and say, you know, how high is high? And the answer is nobody knows. Are we overbought? Well, certainly on earnings, it looks that way. So should you just go to the bank and sit there and pray that you're right? Well, in fact, this morning I opened up an email, and it's one of the perma bears he's written some books, which I've read. I know the guy personally, and he's saying, but he always has a hedge. I mean, the market can drop. The next target for the S&P from 3950 range where we are now is to 2100. Now, that's a collapse. Yeah, it's down 47%.
That's a big drop, yeah.
So we're in the market. Frankly, we are in the market. Maybe the aggressive account has a little cash in it, but all of our other accounts are fully invested in the market. We do not own a single bond.
None. No fixed income across the board.
So why? Well, let's take a look at financials. Financials, which are a big part of the index and a big part of the market, the financial companies cannot operate profitably. Economic expansion does not occur. They have the financial ETF, XLF, has just hit a new all-time high. It has breached the level that it was back in, by golly, that looks like 07 on the chart. How about that?
Yep.
From 2007 to 2021, 14 years of no progress. But that's buy and hold. Yep, you'll be okay. That's in your portfolio. You're going to be okay. You just wait 14 years and you'll see I'm right.
It's all just time. How much time do you have? That's it.
Well, if financials, okay, so financials are recovering. How about emerging markets? Now, we do have exposure to emerging markets in our portfolios, and they're about the same condition. It's been 2007, estimated, doesn't have the year on the chart here, but it's 13 years of no progress in emerging markets. And actually, Perry, you and I were on the radio on another station back in 2011, and yep. We told people in June, it's time to get out of emerging markets and time to get out of gold. And while there have been some rallies along the way, the downward trend has persisted, except in emerging markets, it's finally caught up with its prior high. Speaking of that, I was speaking with a person who's a caller listen to the radio show, and he called in. We're talking about how long he's been listening to us. He's been listening to us since we were on KKOL. And I can't remember how long ago that was.
That was a long time ago. That was a long time ago.
We didn't have a very big audience at that time. Anyway, so do you invest at new highs? Well, I mean, I'm not too sure about the European stock market because it is just now getting back to its 2000 levels. There is modern portfolio theory on display. You wait 21 years to become profitable in your buy and hold passive strategy.
Doesn't seem like a good idea. Yeah.
So we didn't really get to the buy high because it's going higher, but that's really... We'll try to cover that next week.
Sure.
If you want to register for our webinar, March 6th, 9:15, right after the show, go to iriradio.com, lower left-hand corner, says webinar. A couple of clicks, your email, and you will get a registration link that will give you access. We are out of time. Lord willing, we will be back next week. That's our plan. You have a great weekend and a week ahead. God bless.
The preceding program was paid for by Investor Resources and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of KVI management and staff.